And I said that we're going to miss Alex Tuck, but we'll be fine. We have so many young forwards that are only going to get better. And we got Kulik coming back, hopefully healthy now this year. He missed almost the whole year. He already got 17 goals the year before. I believe in growth in those young players, that they're going to get to the next level just by getting a year more experienced, older, stronger, quicker, all those things. So I think you're going to see some of these guys gravitate to the opportunity that was left there by Alex Tuck's departure, and we'll be fine.
Jarmo Kekalainen does not have big moves to report or discuss today. What about it? 803-0550. One of the great rivalries in sports taking place now. Bulldog versus Bulldog at the World Cup. Two of his teams in our pool are playing each other. That's unfortunate. You can't get two wins out of it. Just one. You will get one.
That's tough. And I already lost DR Congo today.
What a showing,
yeah,
however.
It really, really was. Yeah.
What an amazing first half. This World Cup has not been short of incredible games, matches.
Incredible games. The biggest stars in the sport are doing the most important things in the games on a daily basis. Right? Like Haaland got the winner late for Norway the other night. You Harry Kane today with both goals to put England through after being down 1-0. Mbappe yesterday was incredible again. Like the first goal he scored was one of the best plays I've ever seen a soccer player make by himself. And you had the hat trick. Messi and the thing started with two goal games from all of these studs. They're all, even Ronaldo got a goal. But the biggest stars are shining, and it's really, really incredible.
I want to say, Mr. Soccer over here, that Mexico last night looked like the best team in it.
I didn't watch a lot. I had it on and I zonked out. The rain, thunder, lightning delay was tough.
Which was great for me because ADP chasing. But, I mean, they're not the favorite. They do get to play England at home.
Right.
And that could be incredible.
I think they're there in that stadium in Mexico City the next two games if they keep going.
It's two more?
Two more. I believe that's what I heard last night, that they stay home. If they win this next match, they stay there again. I'm mistaken. Sorry.
It was that one and this one.
Oh,
maybe.
Apology.
They'll go to Miami. The winner of Mexico England plays in Miami.
Okay.
On July 11th. But they were awesome last night. I thought. I mean, France is the favorite. France and Spain. England's right there. They got through today. What a great game. All of it so good. Senegal won. Senegal parentheses Bulldog won. Belgium parentheses Bulldog 0.
Yeah.
37th minute.
I don't really know.
Winner.
What I want.
This game gets the winner of tonight's USA-Bosnia-Herzegovina game.
Oh, great. And I have Bosnia-Herzegovina in a different thing, too. So I'm like, I guess I'm anti-American.
Now. You got boxed out.
Yeah, I did.
You're all in one quadrant.
Yeah.
Let's go to Carl here. Hi, Carl.
Hi, guys. I think what Jarmo said today was kind of lackluster. Like, you need to replace stock. These young guys, like, they're good, but there is no reason they should get top 6 minutes right now. They're going to play a bottom six role right now. You need that. Was how many points did Tuck have? Like 69 points or something like that? I think you need to replace that, sort of. Like, well, Mason Marchment was out there. You could have had that.
Yeah.
I hear stuff about Patrick Kane, but Patrick Kane is old, but
yeah,
it would be cool to see.
Yeah. See, I don't like either of those ideas because I don't think either of those guys can really skate with the Sabres. Like, Marchment might give you some semblance of the offensive production, but his defensive game is woeful, and that is something that Tuck was great at. So that's a hard player to find in one person, which is part of the reason why he got $10.5 million to go to Washington. There's not been a signing today that I feel bad about missing out on. I can say that. As depressed as I feel right now, because to me, the way Jarmo Kekalainen sounded when he spoke at around 4 o'clock is that they're putting the boards up on the windows and going out of town. Like, it's that they're done. That's how it sounds to me.
It wasn't only an early press conference, it was short.
Yeah.
So, what are your questions here? Let's go.
I think the thing that anyone, and you've already said it, and you should say it whenever it can be presented, and I don't mean to steal it from you. Like, it is important to recognize that none of the trades that were talked about for days, if not weeks, leading up to the deadline, or excuse me, to the draft, and now into free agency, very few. Byram happened, you know, like that. Darnell Nurse has been traded today, finally, from Edmonton to San Jose. San Jose's got $9 million in Nurse and $8.25 million in Trouba. Nurse is a decent enough player, but he's never been $9 million worth of player. So thoughts and prayers. Anyway, like some things are happening. But like Hellebuck still hasn't been traded, and Winnipeg did still signed Stuart Skinner today. And I highly doubt that they signed him to $3.75 million a year, I think, is the contract. I got to check and make sure. 2 years, it's under four. Still, that's not backup Connor Hellebuck money, I don't think. So maybe they're still going to work on trading Hellebuck, and that can still happen here. I don't know. It's just that Kekalainen today sounded like, I don't want to trade any of the kids. And they can capably, we just played the clip. One of them will replace Alex Tuch. So, I mean, he doesn't sound real bent about getting busy here. But maybe something can still happen if the price comes down enough, I don't know, with Hellebuck.
At the risk of being too much of an apologist for this, how many players really that we know of were there or are there that would have qualified as somebody that works as somebody to replace Tuch? It can't just be any player in the league. It can't be Draisaitl. It can't be anybody that's out there. There's only a small number. It's longer than the ones we know about, probably. It's not just Larkin and Robertson or Knies, right? It's not just the guys who've been public with their wanting or maybe wanting to move. But it's not also that many more. Like, it's not... Mm-hmm. It's not them anymore. So I think sometimes with these things, and I'm defensive right now because I feel like I'm always kind of taking this position, and I get it if it feels like a letdown here, but I don't want to say it's hard to win games in the National Football League, but that's what I thought of. I mean, you might have a dozen players, if that, in the NHL that are on a list. And we would trade Konstantin Hellenius and a draft pick for one of these 10 forwards, 12 forwards. What number should it be? 20? 5? I mean, how many should it be?
I don't know.
We would trade him and X, Quinn, Luukkonen. We would trade this group, this package, for one of these players. And none of them is traded. And like, okay, well, did I blow it? Should I have just gone Tim Murray and thrown in more, just whatever it takes? Maybe. I mean, maybe that's what – we can't know what it's going to be on the ice. But it's always two things. It's what you can reasonably predict it will be on the ice. And then it's also, like this was Hellebuck, I say was, what it does to your fans. I mean, that is season tickets. You go get the gold medal winning Olympic goalie who's been the best goalie in the league for most of the last decade. For, you know, Travis Yost can sit over there for a minute. I'm selling tickets. And, you know,
I think they've already done a ton of that.
I think they've done a ton of that. The disappointment in the air right now is partly that there was an opportunity to do more of that and just kick it up another level. And as you do that, you're also redefining, to those who need this, the Sabres image as a goer, as a doer. And you know, you don't have that. You don't have those pieces today. You have the opposite. You have flashbacks to every other year, literally, in Sabres history, where July 1st is other teams get nice things and we don't.
Yeah. And I want to at least, I think it's fair to wonder. I don't know how I said earlier, like, I know what the players will sound like when they get talked to and asked about, what the team looks like right now. They're going to be excited and the young guys look great and yada, yada, yada. But I wonder, like, wherever Tage Thompson is right now, wherever Rasmus Dahlin is right now, are they feeling like me? Are they feeling like, I thought we were done with this sort of stuff? What happened here? We traded away Bo, we traded away Tuck, and we signed Connor Sheary? What? And I bring that up, like, they'll get over it, they're pros. Like, I haven't always loved every single decision that gets made around here, but I come in the next day and I do my job.
Oh, I forgot to not come in today.
Right? Right? Speaking of that, right, Mr. My Contract's Up. So, you know, like, there's a suck it up mentality that, you know, you're a pro, you're under contract, you got a job to do. But, like, I don't know how much of what happened here this year was maxing out effort, guys not wanting to let one another down, that kind of thing. Does that take a hit now? Because I think they needed every bit of that. They needed every bit of talent and skill and determination and grit and everything they had. But it also was they became hard to play against because they never quit on – very seldom did they quit on plays. And that is hard to do. It is often the big difference between the best teams and teams that are just pretty good. And I don't know. I'm left to wonder how that lands on this team, this group, this leadership
Fair.
Group.
Fair enough.
And that really, you know, I can get tangled up assuming that that's going to be terrible, and it doesn't have to be. Like, Tage Thompson might be sitting on a deck somewhere overlooking a lake in Muskoka or somewhere. I mean, he's American. Maybe it's New England. Whatever. You get the maze in Maine. I don't know. Wherever he is, you might be thinking, Hellenius is better than Tuck. We're all set. I hope that's what he's thinking, but I'm worried about the other end of that, which is, what the hell are we doing?
Who did you put in Muskoka?
He was in Muskoka, and then I moved him to Maine.
Who?
Because Thompson.
Thompson, okay.
He's American. He might have a place in Bar Harbor, for all I know.
Listen, we're Americans, and we love Muskoka.
That's right.
That's where I would go.
My last cottage vacation was Muskoka.
It's amazing. It's great. It's close. It's summer. I don't think you need Maine. Nothing against it. I don't feel like I've ever really done Maine. Just barely. Ogunquit. Twice.
I really love Maine.
But the park is, Acadia is so far up there.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's almost two trips.
It is, yeah. It's like 8 hours to, like, Portland and then another six up to there.
And you've been there.
Yeah.
I have not.
I love it there. I do.
You would go to Maine over Muskoka?
I would, yeah. The ocean. You've got the ocean and the piney mountain thing, which is just hard to beat. So, anyway.
And maybe Wi-Fi. Muskoka can be sus. Depends on the house that you rent. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for your calls at 803-0550. Thank you, Carl, for yours. This is WGR.
Vasa will go long. Team Ray, only man there, able to steer it to Adams. Flicks it along Tillman. He's got Balogun making a run off him. Can he get around to that ball? To the deflection, Balogun scores! Flo Balogun, first to react! He'll do the LeBron celebration. It's 1-0 U.S.
U.S. would win 2-0, beating Bosnia, and advancing to the round of 16, which is the old start of the knockout round.
Right.
So kind of everyone played a play-in game to get to the round of 16, but whatever. They did it. They've looked very good throughout the tournament, and the big conversation is the red card to Flo Balogun. They scored another goal anyway. And got a 2-0 victory over Bosnia.
And also what they'll do to replace him, because...
Ricardo Pepe?
I think that's probably what they do. I wonder if Nick will think about this, because Pochettino, during a lot of their friendlies, was testing things out. Like, he'd have Pulisic up there, and he would bring in another winger. And I wondered if they could do that, because, man, the drop-off they have from Balogun to their next striker, I think, is pretty severe. So, but it probably would be, yeah, Pepe goes in, he's the backup, he played a little bit yesterday, and they'd keep everything the same, but I just wonder if they can move Pulisic around. You want to take him away from the spot that he's normally playing, and because he can do... what I'm talking about, like, more towards the middle. I don't know. It'll be interesting. They could also do two different things in two different halves if it's not working.
803-0550. If you want to join us on Team USA, you can. We're also getting the Sabres offseason and whether or not it is over. Play some of Yarmo's comments from yesterday. But Chance in Alabama is up first. Chance, good morning.
So I've always been that guy. I'm 38 now. I've always been that guy anti-soccer, just can't stand the sport. Oh, you know, kind of that ignorant fan who's, oh, you can't use your hands, it's too low scoring. But, man, listen to you guys, man. You guys talk about it a lot, and I listen to you guys constantly. I'm going to give it a try, right? And I really enjoyed the first game, so I've kept watching. So I'm learning as I go the game. So I'm watching yesterday, and the guy gets the red card. I'm like, oh, he's done for the game. That stinks. And then they say he's going to be gone next game. I immediately put my head in my hands, shaking my head. I say to myself, not another sport I love with this stupid rule, because that takes me to targeting in college football. You know, football is my sport.
Yeah.
You know, so I cannot believe it. As right as I'm enjoying this, it is, other than maybe the offside challenge in hockey, that may be the dumbest rule. Suspending a player during for the next game during a game is so stupid. I don't understand it. What is the rush for suspension? I don't understand. Why can't they wait to why can't a commissioner check it out, or player safety, whoever? Especially in college football, man, because guys get pushed in the back. Sometimes the running back lowers his head, and it's an automatic half-game suspension in college. And now, man, it's just as soon as I'm liking this sport, man, I just get hit with the right hook, man. And it's like, come on.
Yeah, I get it, Chance. The one thing I'd say is, like, your innocence on the sport is gone as you've learned that this, like every other sport, has injustices.
Right.
I mean, the Sabres maybe scored a go-ahead goal in Game 7 at home that got whistled dead.
Yeah.
Despite the – and we just all right. And then they lose in overtime in the series. The season's over. You know, like, you just – you get injustices no matter what your sport is. I mean, baseball's, I guess, figured this out with balls and strikes, because it used to be your season could end on a ball that was outside the strike zone. Now, here's review to save everybody's lives. And for me, like, again, I'll get to the college football point. Why do they suspend a guy the next game? Agree or disagree on whether or not they should. They want it to look like they're taking it seriously. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to get something out of a game to have the suspension be significant? How do they get steroids out of baseball? 50 games, first offense.
Mm-hmm.
What was it when, like, I'm thinking about weed in football, 4 games, first time, or maybe it was the second time caught, you know, once in the program. That's kind of gone now.
Well, what's the gambling one recently? Isn't
the gambling,
eight games?
Six or eight games.
Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, it used to be, why was Pete Rose banned for life? Don't do that. If you do that, you'll be gone forever. The harsher the punishment, the more seriously they take whatever the crime is. And, you know, This red card, think of all the injustices you've seen over your life.
Yeah.
There are a lot of bad rules. There are a lot of goofy things that we all just come to accept.
And I guess
I think this means you've had your innocence on the sport, you know, ruined.
I guess I wouldn't mind that they have that, and I really have never really cared that much that...
A review process, like, by the commissioner?
Like, just have some, okay. Which is the part of the story last night. Like, okay, if you're going to have it so that an act like that can mean you miss the next game, fine, but have a mechanism when the 48 to 72 hours or more than that between games, where if it wasn't worthy of the red card, you are allowed to go look at it, or the team is allowed to appeal it. And that's not also foreign to soccer. Like, that exists in other sports. Like, I think the Premier League has that. I think other tournaments have had that.
There are tournaments that will rescind a red card.
Right. It's almost weird the World Cup doesn't have that. Because to me, I would be fine with, okay, yeah, red card means suspension for the next game. Just allow us to say, if it wasn't a red card, that you can take it back.
Yeah.
And that's part of the story from last night, is it doesn't feel like there is a way to have it taken back.
And there's always politics at play. Like, it was reviewed and given a red card. So what now? Right. Let's bring in the right judges. Let's find 7 people we think will be on our side. You're selecting a jury. Who's going to be on this tribunal to decide? And I'm sitting here thinking about, all right, you know what would be good? Have a league office go ahead and do that. Oh, like the Department of Player Safety in hockey? That works so exceedingly well. When here it is, you have a guy getting elbowed in the face into the boards. And it's like, no penalty, no suspension. so-and-so has been fined the maximum $5,000 allowable under the CBA. Like, we see that every single day in hockey. I'm trying to think of the hit we were most mad about this year on the Sabres and we were LOLing about. Was it Benson? Who got hit in the playoffs? And, of course, we're like, oh, could that be a suspension? Nope. Nothing. So
McAvoy did get suspended at the end of the series, but it was over by that point.
Yes, that's right. He did.
He'll miss the first six games.
When in doubt, we'll just say the player went after Benson.
It's usually right. Yeah.
803-0550. All right. On the Sabres offseason, you can join us on the soccer if you want. Again, we'll do Nick Mendola at 7 o'clock. On the Sabres, busy offseason for some teams. The Sabres offseason was busiest on draft night. Mm-hmm. And not much since then. Minor signings in day one of free agency, a tradition unlike any other. That's pretty much how it works around here. Not to say there's anybody they should have signed, but just, you know, free agency is often about sitting it out. Mm-hmm. So I put up a Twitter poll about the Sabres offseason right now. If it is over, what is your feeling on it? You can vote one of these four options. Love it. That's in last place.
Mm-hmm.
Third place is disaster. Second place is really disappointed, and first place in this poll is okay, left wanting more.
Mm-hmm. I think I would be in the disappointed, really disappointed category.
Below okay, left wanting more.
Yeah, if they don't do anything from here, then really disappointing. Like, this was the offseason for them that was supposed to be about getting better and taking a big step and challenging for the cup. And if it is just, no, we're going to do nothing, like almost nothing, like we're going to bring in guys like Zellweger. Like if that is who I like the player a lot. If he, though, is your biggest impact player that you've brought into the team this offseason, then I think you should be disappointed by that. There are enough big ideas out there. They have enough flexibility to do something that if this is it. Yeah, that's like, I can't imagine loving it. Loving it is, you didn't want them to do anything. Just that's such a conservative approach about them going forward. That's where I think also the GM probably, I mean, would try to sell it this way. I don't think he would have wanted it exactly this way.
No.
But we know for sure he didn't because he wanted Byram to stay. So there's at least one move there this offseason.
And
that
he wanted Tuck to stay.
And he wanted Tuck to stay. To some degree. So I would be in the really disappointed camp. I'm also still trying to really fight to remain optimistic that they will do something, though. That none of the big names have been traded. And maybe some of them are going to be in for a long haul here. Like, it sounds like Larkin, it's just not going to happen. So it's described as a marathon. Like, yeah. Get ready. But Hellebuck is still out there, and you still have some of the free agents. I mean, a lot of the free agents, right? Like, the old guys, you know, Giroux, Anders Lee, Pat Kane. Like, some of the ideas that we've talked about are still very much out there. So, for now, I'm really disappointed.
Same.
That they've done nothing.
Same. And you said this was supposed to be the offseason of XYZ, and I wonder how much of that was us feeling that and how much was them feeling that. Like, the Byram trade is a great trade. There's no doubt about it. But they probably can't even believe they got it, right?
Right.
And I struggle with – not I struggle with giving credit for making that trade. I struggle with how much credit to give for that trade.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy walks in this room right now, Joe, and offers you $1 million for your headphones, am I like, wow, Joe, what a deal you just pulled off?
Or what a negotiator.
We got to give Joe credit. He sold his headphones for $1 million. Like, I don't know what Chicago calls and gives you a preposterous offer, and all you have to do is say, yeah. And then you go out and get Zellweger. Like, Zellweger to me is a replacement, and there's an awful lot to like about that player and that fit.
Yeah.
So, great. That's a very good move. I don't think there's any doubt about the Byram trade being good, and the Zellweger move looks smart, cagey. But past that, I mean, I feel like...
Well, I think them wanting it to be, you know, going for it, why then are they trying to get Hellebuck, and why are they calling about DeBrincat and Trocheck? Like, why even in on this stuff then? Why were you trying to get Parayko with the deadline? Like, you are clearly trying, right?
Yeah.
You're in on these conversations. You're in on these players that are great veteran players. Again, a lot of them have not been dealt. I know Trocheck did last night. But you're in on these guys because I think you want the same thing. You want to make the team better right now.
Then you tell me, is this nothing more than – I mean, context is everything. Is some of the context here that we are, as a sports town, tired of being in on things?
A bit, yeah.
Like, a little bit of this is the Bills are to blame?
Sure.
Like, will someone close a deal?
Yeah.
Could be. 803-0550. The Bills remain good. The Sabres probably remain good. And, you know, a lot of rumors, not a lot of closings. 803-0550, the phone number to join us if you'd like. Today in the World Cup, some of the heavy hitters are back to it.
Spain,
We are going to get England and Mexico, which I saw referred to as the scene of the century. It will be the scene of the century.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on the Levitard show, whoever it was talking about that, saying basically, you think Auburn, Alabama is a scene? You think LSU, Death Valley at night is a scene? Mexico hosting England will be the scene of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Okay, we almost didn't get it.
That's right.
Congo really gave England. I thought they were going to. They hit the post. Was that late in the first half or early second half? I mean, that would have been a death knell goal. I mean, it was going to be over for England.
Harry Kane, the hero. Harry Kane.
He was awesome.
Underrated, right?
Yeah.
Harry Kane is actually underrated, which is incredible.
Yeah, I think he is.
803-0550, our number. Spain, Austria, Portugal, Croatia, Switzerland, Algeria, all today. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Got a let's get stupid-ish, but I don't think it's that stupid.
Okay.
Okay. This is the scene outside the Ecuador Hotel.
Yeah.
Is that person honking Let's Go Buffalo? Kind of sounds like it. Anyway, Mexican fans at the Ecuador Hotel from midnight to dawn surrounding the hotel, loudspeakers, horns, motorcycles to sabotage Ecuador's rest before the game.
Yeah.
So, this is Let's Get Stupid / It's Probably Too Smart. What do we want to do here? The Sabres just lost 3 home games in 1 playoff series.
Uh-huh.
And they finished 2-7 at home in the entire playoffs.
I'm listening.
You guys just want to do that?
Fireworks outside the hotels?
We have, but we need like
in
everybody. We need law enforcement to be on our side. We need everybody. We need it to be that. Yeah, we're just gonna let that happen.
Right.
We're gonna turn the outdoors of their hotel into an unsustainable sleep environment.
We can make it official. You know, we're gonna have a parade. You know, just coincidentally outside the hotel of maybe where the team is staying at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody show up.
Yep.
If Fifth Avenue could be shut down for a wedding, we could make this happen.
Yeah. Bring the loudest thing you got. We can launch fireworks, tambourines, whatever you got. Air horns. I'm into it. I don't think it's that. I mean, they're doing it.
The old story has always been like, what, pulling the fire alarm? You don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to do
right.
that.
You don't want to do that. You want to just honk horns, light off fireworks.
Yeah. That's anyway. It.
They did it in Mexico, and they got the win. You know who's the most interesting match, maybe the World Cup, is as long as England wins today.
Yeah.
England at Mexico in the next round. Pretty good. Pretty good. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us.
U.S. better win tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm almost nervous because it is 100% expected that they're going to win this game tonight. And I don't think anybody is prepared as though they wouldn't win this game tonight, right?
Will they get a...
They're expected to win and maybe win comfortably.
Will they get an own goal from Bosnia in the first 20 minutes?
That's how they've opened like every game.
That's
right?
How they've opened the first 2 games that they won. They kind of, you know, pressure off a little bit. You got one. They earned those own goals, of course. But
well, also, it'll be the first time since the... they really, we've only seen for one half... the combo of what is maybe their best two players, Pulisic and Balogun.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that for a half against Paraguay, and they wrecked Paraguay.
Yeah, they were dominant.
Who then, by the way, smothered Germany, and they did great after they played the U.S., right? I think they went win, draw, win, and mm-hmm. they're still here. When Pulisic and Balogun were out there together, they were all over them, and we haven't seen them play together since then. So that is another reason why I'd be hopeful. Like, yeah, you can win comfortably tonight, even against a team that's probably okay, is those two are incredible.
If you want to, on the money line terms,
yeah,
the U.S. to beat Bosnia is pretty much about the same as Spain against Austria.
Yeah.
The U.S. is minus 700 to win.
That, though, I'm sure a lot of is, I've read a little bit about how much the U.S. team is getting bet on, that they can't set these lines in any place where people will stop betting on it
mm-hmm.
to a point where, like, if they're not going to, but I read something, some line, like, if they were to win the World Cup, then some of the major sports books would have to consider shutting down operations because of how much they would be liable for. Again, they're not going to win the cup, but like, we're talking billions of dollars that they would be out on if they did win it.
803-0550. Get some juicy rumors going today a little bit. I want to add one, though. Said yesterday, Elliot Friedman on Hellebuck, I think Buffalo, if they can bridge it, is still the most likely destination. Yesterday, New Jersey crept into the conversation, right?
Yeah.
But if he gets moved, he believes Buffalo is still the most likely. He also said, I don't want to get everyone's hopes up, but there's lots of noise out there.
Dreger, yes.
On offer sheets.
Dreger said Carolina for Hellebuck remains a contender.
Okay.
And he did say it's fair to wonder if Buffalo circles back, but that's just talking.
How will it feel, again, this doesn't have to be your favorite idea. Whatever your favorite idea is, how will it feel if another team you have to get through does it instead? If you want Dylan Larkin, and instead he goes to Tampa, mm-hmm. or you want Connor Hellebuck, and he goes to Carolina.
Or Barzell, and he goes to Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. Or I don't know if your favorite idea
Montreal
is.
Montreal being mentioned for Mason Marchman now, by the way.
And for Giroux. And, yeah. You know, we're waiting to see how the full offseason plays out, but I'm ready to have the ability to talk about that they've upgraded somewhere. Like, they're definitely better. And I'm not sure how much better they have to be. Some of their upgrades we're hoping come internally from, you know, Östlund and Hellenius, and, you know, just they're a good team already, but other teams are out there upgrading. I want to be upgrading. John in South Buffalo. Hey, John.
Hey, I have a question. Yeah. We've been talking about all these other guys the last week or two on the free agency coming up here. Why are we not going after Robert Thomas like you were talking about before the season? Is the term not there anymore, or we're just kind of forgetting about him?
Most of the reporting out of St. Louis, this doesn't have to be true and it can change in a moment, is that the Blues are not open for business. They're not going to trade Thomas and they're not going to trade Parayko.
Yeah, that they've like had phone calls and they're not even discussing it with teams.
Yeah. So that's why.
So if you can't even get to the negotiating platform on him, then yeah, it doesn't feel likely.
It certainly remains an idea that is worth discussing, but I think it slipped because the belief is that they won't trade him.
Now, the new GM takes over today, Alex Steen. So he could change that, but I he was in the building. It's not like, Armstrong leaves, Steen comes in and suddenly, I think totally differently about this, so I'm going to trade him. Like, I would imagine that if Steen was interested in trading him, then we would be hearing rumors and not what we've heard, which is that they're just hanging up the phone, basically, when teams call about him. So that's why. Also, we beat that idea to death for, like, 4 months.
Yeah. I've got juicy rumors. I've got all the potential trade candidates. I can get you the names of the Sabres that are listed, including one Sabre, maybe two Sabres property guys. But saw yesterday one being aggressively shopped from the Sabres. So, okay. Without further ado, juicy rumors. Offer sheets can happen today, can start today. So the offseason, the fourth period's offseason trade watch list. Number one, Larkin. Number two, Werenski. By the way, there's Paul today talking about Larkin. Go get Larkin. Vinny Trocheck, Jason Robertson, Darnell Nurse. The Sabres are not linked to anyone until the 10th name on the list, and that is Hellebuck.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Nikishin of Carolina, Ristolainen, Shane Wright, Aiden Hill, yep. Morgan Frost, Blake Cole. The Sabres are not linked to another player until it is Jared McCann
okay.
of Seattle. That might be a good idea. Maybe.
Yep.
Jack Quinn comes in at number 22.
Okay.
And there was a report yesterday that he is being there. His name is out there quite a bit.
Okay.
The Flyers want in on Zach Werenski.
Yes, there's a lot of talk there that they want him bad.
Matt Zuccarello is officially going to market. Patrick Kane officially going to market.
Yep.
Ilya Labushkin, anybody want to do a, you know, run a pack?
Well, now that they have a couple depth defensemen, not as much. But I went into the offseason wondering about him because they need to clear cap space, and he's still good for a third pair guy.
Devin Levi ranked number 28th on the trade list.
He gets reported on like he's a real asset. I don't know if he'll actually ever fetch anything that's meaningful.
Yeah.
But he gets reported on a lot. A lot of Bobrovsky in the Leaf smoke.
Yep. I've seen that today.
And that's fine. Go ahead. Go sign there for $7 million per year. Hellebuck being the first name on the list that is connected to them. You know, like Paul said it earlier, like, I'd rather them go get a forward than a goalie. How much of them going after Hellebuck is just he's the best player that would say yes to them?
That's half the reason like, I sure. want them to do it would is you? Because right now it seems like
yeah.
the place they can feasibly upgrade, and as soon as they make a different trade instead, I'll be all about that trade, but I'm right. just waiting for more names.
Like, am I to believe that if Yarmo had his pick that he wouldn't prefer Larkin or Werenski to Hellebuck?
Sure.
But you might not be able to get Larkin or Werenski because those are the two guys right now that have the smallest trade list. Whereas Hellebuck is a little bit more open to where he'd go, and we already know he said yes to Buffalo. So I think that's a part of it. I'm open to improving goalie. I don't need to, but he's the best player available that will come here. That's why I'm in on this. More than just, I have to address goaltender.
Right. To that point, is there value in letting this be a season where you don't attack every offseason the same? You're just going to try to get in again, see how it goes, and then next offseason would be one where you have more space, the Skinner contract comes off the books, there's more room, and you'd say next offseason is one to really attack it. Like, there's a case for that, but
Are there going to be players as good as these ones, though, available next offseason?
That I don't know. Could another playoff berth get you off of even more lists?
I mean, is McDavid available?
I just think it's
because
it's the
then yes,
it's the same thing I've thought about. Sorry, the Bills receivers going back 4 years. Like, other teams are adding them, other teams are getting ahead of you, and waiting is signing up for letting other teams try to get better, right? Like the Leafs. If the Leafs get Werenski and add Darren Radish and maybe sign Bobrovsky and add Gavin McKenna yeah. to Nylander and they keep Nyes, like all of a sudden, that doesn't look like a first overall pick team. That looks like a team that would challenge a little bit.
Right.
Like, other teams don't stay put. You can't ever stay put. You've got to keep going. So I don't like the idea of saying, oh, this will be an offseason where it's going to be kind of quiet. We'll just wait. You might miss a window. So we'll see. Elliot Friedman says, this was on Oilers Now. Connor Hellebuck, I heard Carolina just doesn't have what Winnipeg wants. I think Buffalo does. But what do they want?
They want a lot, it sounds like.
Maybe too much.
I want to...
Would not give Hellenius.
I still want to think they're the most likely place that he plays his next game. More than Winnipeg. More than Carolina. More than, I mean, Florida's out now. The Devils. Something happens with him.
Yep.
Maybe it's got to happen by noon. Maybe that is a real deadline for this trade. It's tough to know. You'd have to know Lukanen is going to put Winnipeg on his list. And if you know that that's going to happen at 12 o'clock today, and he's got to be a part of the deal, then the trade has to happen by 12. Because what happens if part of the deal for both sides is, well, Lukanen's got to go in it. Because I want to move him, so I'm not spending $13 million in goalie. And you want him because you don't have a goalie. And at 12, maybe we can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And does the deal get a lot harder? So,
and who's it get harder for?
It could get harder for both, though, because, I think both teams would want to be motivated for him to be part of the deal.
Right, but it gets harder for Buffalo, because if you're Winnipeg, you just say, like, oh, we'll take a different asset. Right? You still want this goalie. He still will come there. Now we have to find other things that would come this way.
All right.
Anyway, Team USA and Bosnia tonight, 8 o'clock. Very exciting.
I think they should wear the stripes tonight.
Let's hope.
Wear the striped jerseys. Bosnia, that's blue and yellow, right? They're probably wearing blue. Stripes for the U.S., blue for Bosnia. Where's the game, L.A.?
Or are they Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium, I believe.
Levi's Stadium?
Is that right? I'm pretty sure it's Levi's Stadium. And then the next game is Seattle again.
Okay. They don't really come east at all, right?
Not until the final is going to be at MetLife.
But they'd have to win a couple games to get over here.
I can find where the court.
I know they would play 8 o'clock again the next game, but as you mentioned, Seattle, that would make sense. You get a later game out there.
The World Cup semifinals are in Dallas, Texas, and Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
So which side of it is Dallas, and which? My guess is they would be Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. I can double check that if you want. If it matters, it'll be a large grass stadium. That
yes.
we know.
Yeah.
These stadiums look great. With the natural grass. They look incredible.
They look awesome. Yeah. And I'm sure NFL players are very jealous. And they are actually, they're telling you they're jealous.
Yeah. Kind of surprised we haven't had, like, complaints about the quality of the grass.
Nope.
Right? They just threw grass in these turf stadiums. Like, oh, yeah, everything's doing great.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll get a break in. Shots of audio, top of the hour here on WGR.
Those guys are funny. Anyway, what is this about? You're going to make a lineup.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I was pointing out how Josh Doan didn't have a line at this time last year. I do think
he does now.
Yeah, you betcha. I do think it's hang on. Who's Carrick? Sorry, I was trying to write just so we could do this maybe on the air. Not have me just write down what I think the lines are going to be. We can talk out what they should be, what we think they should be. So I thought I'd start with the centers.
Give me Thompson on the wing.
So, right. So I've got Kulik, Norris, McLeod, and Carrick, I think are my four centers.
Okay.
Right? Carrick's got another year on his contract. So, you know, I assume that's going to get done. Let me cross off guys who are gone from last year's list. Tuck gone, Greenway gone.
Right.
Danforth is still here. Roseanne is gone. Wahlberg is gone.
Yep.
Gjertsen.
Wrote all those names down?
Yeah. They were extras. I had the four lines here. I'm showing Twitch. Okay. I had the four lines and then the extra forwards.
Okay.
Danforth is still here. I don't know if he's ever playing again, but he's still here. The D, let's see, Kesselring is gone. Bryson is gone.
That's unfortunate.
Zach Jones is, well, he didn't get a qualifying offer. I assume he's gone. Ryan Johnson is still around, right? I didn't know anything about Zach Metsa. He was not on this list last year.
Undrafted.
Yeah. We've got Crevier and Zellweger now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to get like the pool together here so I can do this.
What's the process? Are you writing it on last year's page or third page?
I didn't start on the third page yet other than the centers. Kulik, Norris, McLeod, Carrick. Do you think, because I might venture a guess, that if Kulik looks like Kulik, he was penciled in here as their number two center last year.
By you.
With Norris on top.
Okay.
I feel like it wouldn't be a huge upset if he shows up and is playing with Benson and Thompson.
I agree. No, I would expect it.
So you're okay if I put Benson and Thompson on Kulik's wings?
Yes.
Okay.
Thompson, of course.
Yeah, right. Thompson had, it's funny. They've been all over the road on him, right? Center, wing, what's he prefer? Remember Don Granato, like, get him away from the walls. His reach, you're cutting him off.
Yep.
All that.
Back in the league, by the way.
I think you become a contending level team, and his defensive shortcomings almost prohibit you from using him as your number one center. Like, I don't think you can have him on the ice against Macklin Celebrini. I think you're just really worried about his defense. So I think he almost has to be a winger if you're going to be a contending level team.
Or even Caulfield.
Right. I mean, anybody. He's just not that guy. Norris is a much better 200-foot player. And I don't know about Kulik's defense at this point. But, you know, they talked about him as someone who was totally up for that job. So there's our top line. All right, what do you want to do with Norris's line mates? Is that Quinn and a kid?
Osland? What do you think? I guess Quinn.
I think it's funny. Like, Oslin looks so good in the middle in those playoff games when he was playing for Norris, but
you already used up those spots.
Yeah, Norris is on your team. He's playing center, and he's playing a top six role, and like that's the end of that, right? So,
but Krebs won't play center in this lineup.
No,
either.
No, he won't. No, he won't. He's still got to get signed. I think Yarmouth was asked about him. It was hard to hear the questions, I think, even for me sitting in here, let alone you people out there. So I think Yarmouth was asked something, and he just gave a sort of a very curt, like, you know, some things take time.
Yep.
He's an important player to us.
That was a absolute get-in, get-out press conference.
I'm pretty sure that was about Krebs. So you want to put Quinn...
still have Zucker.
Right. Wasn't Quinn, McLeod, Zucker really good for a while? Like, they wouldn't break it up, and then finally they had to? Like, I feel like maybe I want to stick with that.
Okay.
So I'm gonna put Quinn and Zucker on McLeod's wings. That leaves Norris with, let's see.
You have Malenstein, too.
Right, that I'm getting to that.
Okay,
that's a fourth line.
We
can do that. Krebs, assuming Krebs gets signed, I'm putting Krebs on Carrick's left wing, and Malenstein on Carrick's right wing, and that's that. So now all we have to decide is which two of the kids. Am I leaving someone out?
Hellenius is
right.
Not.
No, I know. Hellenius and Oslin right now both don't have spots.
Doan has a spot.
Doan has to go with Norris. And then Hellenius is the other winger on that line, I think, is how I'm going to do this for now.
All right.
So Benson, Kulik, Thompson, Doan, Norris, Hellenius, Zucker, McLeod, Quinn, Krebs, Carrick, Malenstein. That right now, extras.
I think that sounds really good.
Danforth is still under contract. Again, I don't know what his status is. Kozak is an extra. Should I write Sherry down here?
Sherry. Kuntar.
Kuntar's on a two-way deal. Like, that's absolutely Rochester. Like, I'd be really surprised if he wins a job. Sherry, I feel like, because he's on a one-way contract, outranks him.
Okay.
Even though I'll bet if they play the whole year together in Rochester, Kuntar plays much, just produces way more than Sherry will. But nonetheless. All right, I think I'm done with the forwards for now. And I got to look at SpotTrack or, you know, whatever, some salary thing to make sure I'm not skipping some forward.
I'm not thinking of any.
All right. And then, okay, well, let's do the D. I think that's pretty easy. Darlene and Sammy, Power. Did I mention this already? Yes. Kekalainen talked about Zellweger as being a partner for Power. So I want to put him there, even though it's not left-handed, right-handed, like Paul was talking about yesterday. I really feel like Yarmo told you today, we traded for this guy to take Byron's spot.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
And then Timmins and Crevier.
Crevier. And Metsa.
Right. Extra. Metsa. Metsa's extra.
Timmins the extra.
That's what you want to do? Sure. I hear you. Lindy loves Timmins. He's going to be third pair guy.
These hockey people.
He's going to be a third pair guy. I don't think there's any question about it. Oh, my friend Dave Marone from Front Row Sports up in Thorold just texted me.
I met Dave.
Josh Dunn. Forgot about Dunn.
Josh Dunn.
Josh Dunn is an extra. He needs to go on this list. I don't think he outranks any of the people that are in the lineup right now, but he belongs on that list. So there's that. I think that's and then the goalies are the same.
The goalies for now are the same.
Hang on, I had Levi in that third spot. It's Ellis now, right? So it's UPL.
Levi is officially not
on
the list.
He's gone.
Traded.
But Ellis is still here, and I can throw this piece of paper away from last year.
Oh, you're gonna junk it?
It's all over. Yeah, there's guys that aren't even on the team anymore on that list. So
what about for the museum?
Yeah.
Someday. Like my stuff over here, the power rankings.
I don't feel like I need
I got that. Stacks of them. Literally.
Oh, okay, good. You said the museum. I was looking for the drawing that Jeremy once did long, 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 long ago about how what the scene would look like is like a stick figure drawing of the Sabres winning the cup, and like Drew Stafford is still there. It be a gritty veteran, and there's a billboard on the boards that says Bulldog for Mayor 2020 or something.
How did that not survive?
That's in the control room. I see it from here. It's still out there. So that is a museum worthy piece, not one that I drew, but that's all right. Well, there you go. There's your team, everybody.
There it is. The book is closed on the possibility of changes, which we have been talking about for most of the day.
Right.
That it has sounded like that. There were changes when we started, and then the GM spoke and talked like...
Very much like it was time ready to get take a seaplane to the cottage, is what it sounded like when Kekalainen spoke. Yes. So, I think that might... As of now, that's your team. You know, maybe something changes that, but I think what gets really complicated now is... Like the ability to make complementary moves, say, right? Like if you wanted to still trade for Hellebuck, and say, you know, that's Mertka and Osland or Hellenius or Kulik, one of the three, and I don't know, maybe a McLeod is included in that. I can't go get Vincent Trocheck to replace McLeod because he's gone elsewhere, which I'm glad about. But I'm about to talk myself into nothing else is going to happen again, and I don't think I don't want to go all the way there.
No, but this is an important point. Yeah. Really, it's an extension of the fact that the draft is over.
Yeah,
and now you don't have as near as much stuff that you can afford to divest. I mean. It's important that July 1st is mostly over and so many fallback options are already off the table for them. I'm not sure how many they liked, but, you know, there would have been a list, and the list is much shorter today if there's still a list.
Yeah. So, the Hellebuck thing could still happen. Maybe Winnipeg still wants to move him, but I don't know what I'm doing about it now. That I don't think I have all these other moves at my disposal to like fill out my roster if I trade two pieces that are on this team right now. You know, if you can do that without doing that, maybe that's pretty incredible. But it seems like that would be hard to do. So I kind of feel like this is probably your team. Kulik better be good. Norris better stay healthy. And Hellenius better be ready to score 30 goals. There it is, everybody. Thanks for coming. I'm going to need to make a neater list of this. Just so to hang on the wall, I mean. I need a clean sheet of paper.
It's your birthday. It's easy to get distracted.
Yeah, no. Well, I was rushing. You know, I was trying to write the names down. And I can't even. You should look at Hellenius on this. Look at it. There's some vowels in there at the end that I'm not even. I did not distinguish one vowel from the other.
You added an O
because I wasn't sure what order the vowels were in, so I just like scribbled some vowels.
It's halfway between printing his name neatly and probably what his signature looks like.
Yeah, right.
Where you could read it. Right. Throw a number on there and you can read it. It's going to look like an autograph. People will ask someday, did he autograph this?
Right.
for you?
Did he make this roster for you, or these lines combinations for you?
Well, are we going to push forward or just go forward talking about this anymore? What's tomorrow? Are we talking about Connor Hellebuck tomorrow if he's not traded tonight?
Not without some kind of impetus, I think, right? I'm going to need a, hey, they're circling back. Or even if the Sabres aren't mentioned, I'm going to need a, Winnipeg is still working.
That's what's going to happen if there's anything, is I still think Winnipeg, well, I've said many times, I think they want to do it.
Yeah.
I think they have sort of faced the music on him. And that's why you have all these different insider guys bringing his name up. This is like basically the last week or two, but bringing his name up, that's because they're being told. And did that just die? Florida did a different thing. Buffalo decided not to so far. Jersey was mentioned. Maybe Jersey.
Carolina's been mentioned.
You mentioned Carolina before. That's right. It's not Toronto.
Right. They made their move.
I mean, we think he wants to go to the States anyway, right?
A contender in the States. And
all
really,
those teams mostly are.
And I don't know, in Canada, I mean, he's not going to Edmonton. I don't think they can afford him, and you know they're throwing darts at Devon Levi. Calgary doesn't fit. Vancouver doesn't fit. Montreal's got two guys plus Montembeau. They're not doing it. I don't think.
Well, if he gets traded somewhere else, then he does. But as far as the Sabres are concerned, I don't know. I'm not going to think about this that often anymore going forward, right?
I think that we patched the holes on defense with Olden Zellweger. Believing he's a guy that can grow into the role that Bo Byram was at. Probably not there yet. Bo Byram is a really good defenseman for us. We still have three really good defensemen in place. I'd say that's a luxury to have three defensemen the level of Rasmus Dahlin, Matthias Samuelsson, Owen Power. And then we acquired Louis Crevier that can battle for the fourth spot as well. We still have Connor Timmins and Zach Metz. I think our D crew group is really strong.
Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen there. This is not really a shot at Jarmo. I get very nervous whenever anyone does that. Don't just start naming all the players on the roster. They are not all equal. That does not mean anything. I agree with the top group, that's fine. But when he starts getting to like Connor Timmins and Zach Metz, you've lost me. You've completely lost me. And it happens with the Bills too, because we've had this conversation with the Bills of like, where are the superstars? Like, where are the game-breaking players? And I've got people like just naming guys on the roster. I'm like, cool. Like, where are the Pro Bowls? Where are the All-Pros? You don't even have a single big moment for like any of these guys. You're just naming Bills players. It's not to say that Yarmo's necessarily doing that. But again, when he gets to Connor Timmins and Zach Metz, I'm like, okay. What? Your team almost seemed to like want to not play Zach Metz at all costs at certain points last year, especially by the end.
We have a trade.
I'm assuming with that tone, the Sabres are not involved.
No.
Damn. Well, what do we got?
It's also one that I'm kind of confused at.
Even better. What do we have?
So, Minnesota has traded for Blake Coleman and Olli Maatta.
I know Coleman.
From Calgary.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay.
Okay. If that's the way we want to go about this, they trade Jake Middleton for the duo there. And Middleton, 30-year-old defenseman, 16 points.
Mm.
But, you know, he's not the ancient combination that is. Well, 31-year-old Olli Maatta, and then 34-year-old Blake Coleman, who only plays wing, by the way.
Never get a center. I love that Minnesota does that. Never add a center. Just keep going with wings.
Okay.
It kind of works. They went around. Kind of works.
Okay.
Just never go for a center. Because Dylan Larkin's going to be a Vegas Golden Knight at some point.
A trade happened. Oh, by the way, real quick. Can we talk about Sonny Mehta?
Sure.
The Barrett Hayton offer sheet. There's some drama behind it?
I was very excited that we just had an offer sheet. I did not know about any drama.
Oh, so there was an agreement reportedly in place for the Devils to acquire Barrett Hayton. Utah backs out during the draft. And Meta goes, oh, yeah? I'm walking him to unrestricted free agency then.
Yes.
If you match it. Because then, under the rules, you cannot trade him for a year. Mm-hmm. He then becomes an unrestricted free agent. So either now you give me Hayton for a second round pick, or I'm walking him to UFA.
Oh, that's so
weird. That is a new age GM.
We're getting there. The GMs are learning. You're in the business of winning, not making lifelong friends.
I want this guy to succeed so bad now, not at the expense of the Sabres.
Is this Utah's GM?
New Jersey's GM.
New Jersey's, okay.
Who forces Utah into an awkward situation with Barrett Hayton.
That is so good. Because that's the business you're in. We had a trade. You backed out. What? No.
Like the Raiders publicly calling out Baltimore, I'm going to do something about this.
You're right. The NFL, they kind of can't. They have to just be the good guys, sign the players that they agreed to, and march forward.
When that trade is going on, though, it's something backed out of during the legal tampering period. And not much can be done after that, pretty much from there. It's not like Crosby's playing on a franchise tag. This is in case somebody was tagged. I can do something about this, which New Jersey does. And that's awesome.
So good. I do love kind of everything about that. Just be a little petty. You still might end up getting the guy. We now have less than a week for Utah to match.
Yes, it's 6 days now left for them to match that because it happened yesterday.
Speaking on that, no movement on the Jason Robertson stuff. I don't think that I'm kind of moved completely off that for the Sabres.
I'm interested in where Claude Giroux signs.
Claude Giroux, yes, because he does not sign first day. Patrick Kane as well. I know there were rumblings yesterday.
Not as curious about Patrick Kane.
I know there were rumblings out west yesterday that Kane could be coming back to Buffalo today. We'll see if anything.
The Wild are giving up three draft picks in addition to this, with one of them being a second, reportedly.
Well, I mean, they've kind of had the feeling since the Quinn trade.
For Emily Kaplan?
Of what are picks, so that's unsurprising. They've had that feeling for a little while here of what are picks.
But I'm sorry, it's Blake Coleman.
I didn't say it was going to be right. They've had that feeling for. Didn't they do that with a guy in the trade deadline too? I feel like they did. I don't know.
But hey, Bill Guerin won GM of the year.
Well, yeah, he won a round with no centers.
Whatever.
And added Quinn Hughes.
I'm glad he got to look goofy when they didn't cut to him during the draft.
That was, as always, incredibly awkward from the NHL. A lot of the big names didn't move yesterday, right? Hellebuck is still out there. I mean, ultimately, Winnipeg signs a goalie to arguably starter money. I mean, that's not the money you pay a guy to play 20, 25 games as a backup to Hellebuck. Certainly not in Stuart Skinner. 3.75, I believe the contract was. Claude Giroux, as you mentioned, is still out there. Patrick Kane, as I mentioned, is still out there. The Robertson situation is still unresolved. The only big-time situation that is resolved is the one that maybe looked the most untenable. Zach Werenski.
Right. There's a public statement out by both player and team.
Werenski has that statement with him. He doesn't say he's going to sign a long-term deal. Just says he wants to be in Columbus, going forward. Right. There's no contract extension. So in 2 years, he could still be out.
They also had to delete and repost it because...
Good.
Because the statement at one point says Zach Werenski.
Oh, they spell his name wrong?
Yeah, Rwesnke.
I realized last night I sometimes say his name wrong. If I say it too quickly, I'll say it like Rowensky, and it's Werenski.
Yep.
And so if I say it too fast, I will botch his name. Although I don't work with him. Maybe you should spell it right. He has a Wikipedia page. You can just go there, copy and paste it. It's not hard. Just copy and paste from Wikipedia, boom. So that's not great. But at this time yesterday, that seemed.
But that means that you're not copy pasting anything. You're typing it all out. So right, good on you.
And I guess that's good. You're not using AI,
or you're not like copy pasting anything. You're not being lazy about it. You're actually typing it out, and spelling mistakes happen. That's okay.
They do happen.
I understand that.
But But again, at this time yesterday, that felt like the most untenable situation. Mm-hmm. That he was gone, or at the very least, it was going to be uncomfortable at best, toxic at worst, between him and the team. Instead, now they've got the joint statement. Yeah, I even said yesterday if Toronto was able to get that deal done, because there was a Darren Drager report that they may even not have to give up Nyes to do it, that, oh, man, like, Toronto completely retools in 6 months after being a tire fire in the second half of the year. Nope. Columbus is okay, which I said this last night in the nightcap. I have a soft spot for teams like that really have not – been given kind of any advantage by their leagues. You look at the NBA, Charlotte and Washington are oftentimes horribly forgotten. And I was happy that Charlotte had their moment in the sun going to the play-in games. Washington actually does win the lottery, gets the number one overall pick. That will make them at least a curiosity, if not an actual must-watch over the next couple of years with A.J. DeBonsa. And then Columbus, you have a Norris Trophy winner in Zach Werenski. You kind of hope you hold on to him for at least a year with the Norris. And it almost seemed to fall apart
right
as the season ended.
He just wins a Norris Trophy and like now he's gone.
But so it seems to be they're in a good spot. That's good. I know they're in the East, but I do not like in any sports league when seemingly a team or teams are just not a part of the sport. Baseball is notorious for this, right? Some of the cheaper teams, you're essentially farm teams for the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Mets, the Reds. Like that's all you are. Your best players are eventually going to leave. Thanks for participating. You fill out the lineup. You know, basketball does this a lot. In the NHL, it has happened as well. Although with the NHL, the commissioner, Gary Bettman, has seemed to do everything he can to make places like Atlanta and Arizona work. Where like Columbus, they're super forgettable, but they have a fan base. It's not a complete and utter disaster. They are just forgettable. And now that they have a star player that maybe will stay there, hopefully that puts them in the right direction going forward. Because, I do like when we have different faces, you know, participating at the top. I have come around to the idea that dynasties can be very good for sports, although it has to be in smaller doses. You can't just have the same teams always winning. But you also, I think in some circumstances, can't have what the NBA is doing where it's 8 different teams. You know, you eventually then just become a decade where no one really can say exactly what happened. A bunch of teams won, we move on. But you can talk about the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s because you were run by very specific teams. And it was sort of the league identity that these teams went off and won. The NFL's the same thing, right? The Chiefs were the late 2010s into the 2020s. The Eagles kind of have their run now as well. The 2000s are the Patriots and the Colts. You know, the 90s are the Cowboys. It makes it more identifiable with your sport. But to all that being said, I want other people at the not the kids table, at the adult table. Mm-hmm. That helps your sport as well. That it's not the haves and the haves not have nots. That it's not LA, New York, Boston that run everything.
Right. Speaking of LA, by the way, what are they doing?
The Kings?
Yeah,
we're bringing back Corey Perry.
They're bringing.
He's 41 years young.
LA decided that 20 overtime losses was acceptable last year, and decided to get older. They signed Matt Zuccarello.
39 years young.
Eric Hall at 35. Scott Lawton, 32.
Spring chicken.
And then, of course, Corey Perry, 41. They thought that this is a good idea. Oh, by the way, your goaltenders are 36-year-old Darcy Kemper and 33-year-old Anton Forsberg.
Do they have any guys starting from this under 25?
They've got Brant Clark at 23.
Okay, there we go.
He's a good defenseman.
There we go. That's somebody. Oof.
They got Quentin Byfield at age 23 right now. That's cool.
That's right, yep, because Byfield was a fun idea for a minute there.
And that's it in terms of top players under the age of 30. They lost Anže Kopitar and said, let's get older. You know, good for you, L.A., because, I mean, granted, the Sharks did accidentally self-sabotage a little bit yesterday.
Trouba, that's a big contract.
It's not Trouba that I'm worried about.
Oh, it's Darnell Nurse?
Yeah. It's the Darnell Nurse trade. I
am a little nervous on that one
for
them.
Well, Nurse, it came out a couple days ago. He expanded his horizons. He was willing to go to more places. And, well, San Jose is probably one of the better ones to go to. It's a lot of money, though, to Jacob Trouba.
It's a lot of money, but they did reinvent their defensive core. It's Nurse, Trouba, Kesselring, all of a sudden all in there now. Sam Dickinson's going to be a pretty good player on that blue line. He's only just getting started at 20 years old. Dmitry Orlov's got one more year before he's a UFA, but like the Sharks did reinvent a little bit of themselves defensively. But, man, they went and spent some money yesterday. They did too, but it's not on players exclusively over the age of 35.
No, you know what's funny too? Like yesterday was disappointing for the Sabres, but I didn't really want them to like go big spend. I mean, we talked some of the forwards yesterday.
You don't spend a bunch of money on day one of free agency.
But that's
just
the thing too.
It
was like one or two guys. Anthony Mantha, by the way, is still out there. But it was not like anything where I need them to go spend big. No. I'd been fine if they just traded for Hellebuck and we roll forward.
Mm-hmm.
If they sign Anthony Mantha and it's not a big deal, that'd be great. Be awesome. But, yeah, you do see some of these teams going like kind of buck wild trying to get back into it. Utah spent a lot of money yesterday, by the way, as well, kind of headlined by Anders Lee. It's not the way to build these teams is through drafts and timely trades, not through spending a ton of money in free agency. Nashville, I think of them specifically over the last couple of years of just they went wild. And the reason why I'm going to remember, too, is because I was in Nashville that day. On July 1st, when all that happening, I'm going to the airport to fly home, and I'm just like, wow, the Preds decided to do all of this, and none of it worked. It was all bad for them.
Vegas has already spent so much money that they're $8.6 million over the cap.
They're in a weird situation. They needed to field a roster.
Well, they need to field a roster, but now you are now up to $8.6 million over the cap. And you just got to 12 forwards. You have 8 defensemen now. But, like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you getting rid of? And I think the answers are you try to find a way to get someone to take Aiden Hill, and you get rid of William Karlsson, unfortunately. But, yeah, I don't know what they're doing over there. The Pacific's weird again, Zach. All making some interesting decisions because those are all Pacific teams that we just listed off.
It's not a particularly good division.
No.
But someone will, in fact, win it. And to be fair,
Vegas did,
and they went to the Cup Final. 803-0550, the number to call. We are going to get a little more hockey talk in a little bit later on, 1230. Joe Yurden will join the show. We go to the phones here, and Stu is up next. Stu, how are we doing?
Morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing very well.
Two quick things on the World Cup games the other day. The Paraguay over Germany, it's the first time Germany ever lost in penalty kicks in World Cup. They were 5-0 going into that.
That's right. I forgot they had that mystique around them. They were just dynamite in that. That's right.
And then also, Paraguay, this is Paraguay. I'm Paraguayan, by the way. This is Paraguay's tactic. When it's late in the game, they will go into a defensive shell to try and preserve a tie to go to penalty kicks because they are prolific at PKs. They've knocked out Brazil twice and Argentina in the South American Cup using that exact same strategy.
Stu, I have to ask you, though. How nervous were you during the penalty kicks? Because, boy, there were moments where I thought Paraguay had bungled it.
Well, no, at first we were up. Until the last guy missed. And yeah. The guy that they brought in during the extra time is supposed to be their penalty kick specialist, and he missed. But guys who were brought in during that extra time after the regulation only made 20% of their penalty kicks in World Cup history.
Wow.
Also, this Senegal losing 2-0, it's only the second time in World Cup where a team had a 2-0 lead and then lost the game. The other teams, Japan, had a 2-0 lead, and guess who they ended up losing to?
Belgium.
So Belgium, you want to get a 2-0 lead on Belgium. You want to be 1-0 or 3-0.
You do not want to be 2-0.
The Belgium team has learned the most dangerous lead in hockey can be converted to soccer.
Stu, thanks for the call.
That's unbelievable.
Man. Belgium, good for them. That Senegal game, watching that. I do mean this, though, as a U.S. fan. At about the 70th minute or whatever, it was around there, I had that feeling of, this is going to be a tough game. It, before the U.S. had played, we didn't know it was going to go on battle again. We didn't even know if they were going to beat Bosnia, but I was just... You're watching that one knowing, okay, we'll have an idea of where they're going to be at if they can win. I didn't love Senegal. There's a ton of speed there. There's a dynamo talent with Sadio Mane, and Sarr had a wonderful goal yesterday as well. And I think they botched it against Belgium, like just flat out. I think they botched it. I don't think Belgium was a better team. I don't think they're a better team than the United States right now, which is awesome to feel that way, because in 2014, Belgium was absolutely the better team, and it wasn't even particularly close. The fact that it was 2-1, and it was all late goals, by the way, in that one too. I mean, I think Belgium's first goal comes into extra time in that one. It's like the 98th minute or something like that is when De Bruyne scores. But they were absolutely a better team at that time. Now I think the U.S., even without Balogun, are the better team. Pepe is fine enough. He had 16 goals in the Dutch league. If you want to go Haji Wright, that's totally fine. He was very, very good in England's second division, and he kind of offers a little bit of a difference. Pulisic is getting his legs under him. I want to see what minute he got subbed out, because the broadcast had made mention that his legs were starting to look heavy. I didn't disagree, but I enjoyed the fact that he had gone as long as he did. He's taken out in the 87th minute. I mean, nearly plays all 90. And I think that's going to be very good for Pulisic going forward. And also for this U.S. team as well, this is your moment. They've won now only two knockout games in their history. Mexico in 02, and now Bosnia in 26. That's it.
You've doubled your knockout wins.
However, to that though, you've got a horrible record against European teams. This is even brought up in the run-up games, Senegal and Germany. They beat Senegal. They lose to Germany. And it was, why can't they beat European teams? They're arguably matching them. Let other players play in Europe. What is going on? This Belgian team is older. They are not in the prime of their powers. I mentioned Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku. They're part of that 2014 team. That's 12 years ago. They are not of the same caliber anymore. They're just not. But this would be a really big statement win for the United States. Even though I think by Monday they'll be favored, this would be a huge statement win of, you have to be taken seriously now. You would be in the final eight. You'd be in the quarterfinals. Yes, it's at home. You'd have the home crowd. But you would beat one of the premier powers, or at least a team that always kind of seems to be around there. And to be fair, if Belgium beats you, they go to the quarterfinals. It's a complete success for them. It'd be a huge success for Belgium with how old they are and the fact that the golden generation kind of has lost its luster. I mean, their best player in that team in 2014, Eden Hazard's not even there anymore. Hasn't been for a while. It could be a real seminal moment for the U.S. men's national team going forward, going into 2030 and 34, of you've now built something. Now it's pushing forward. Now it is whenever the Copa America comes up, the 2 years after the World Cup, you got to be in there. When the Gold Cup's there, you got to win it.
When the Olympics are here, make a name for yourself.
Make the Olympics.
Yeah, make the Olympics.
Actually be part of the Games.
That is also nice to do.
But I Monday, I can't wait for it. Balogun not being there sucks, no doubt.
Aren't we a host country for the Olympics for summer?
Oh, yeah, L.A.
So they would be in, wouldn't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if it necessarily works the same, but I think so.
Oh, okay.
But Balogun not being in sucks, like no doubt about it. He has announced himself on the world stage. Casual fans can now name more than one player, which is awesome.
Yes.
It's not just Pulisic running the show. But I said it to start the show today, and I'll continue this. If you had to have a position where you got to go to the backup, striker is the best position. There could have been way, way worse scenarios. Tyler Adams going down with an injury. You don't really have midfield depth. And Chris Richards picking up a red card. You really don't have center back depth. That could have really, really hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
If it's got to be a position, it's a shame it's their leading scorer, but it's maybe the position they have the most depth in. Let's go back to the phones. John up next. John, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Great game yesterday. It was a shame to lose Balogun, and I think it's a huge loss, more than people realize. Pulisic and Pepe are very skilled players. Their only problem is they're very undersized. And
that's fair. Yep.
With Belgium being as big as they are on defense, I think they're going to have a really hard time. It'll probably be a close game, but I think Belgium probably wins this one just because of the fact that we've, lost that big guy inside. Anyway, thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
John, I think it's fair bringing up the size for Belgium. It also should be mentioned, though, we had a caller a little while ago bring this up. Balogun's not a big guy. He's fast. He's very skilled. That's where Haji Wright, to his point, made a lot of sense bringing him in. My thing where Belgium, I don't think, can match the United States at all, and why I was more nervous with Senegal, speed.
Yep.
The U.S. is faster than most teams in the World Cup. They are significantly faster than Belgium. And that's where I think the problem could be, is just even bringing in guys like Tim Weah off the bench if you wanted to in the 60th, 70th minute. Speed can kill you in these World Cups. And if they can get behind you, you're off to the races. We also haven't seen a game yet where Pulisic really takes control since that first half of Paraguay. And now, well, I think Pepe is going to start. We won't know for sure until Monday, but I think Pepe will start up top. All eyes will be on Pulisic.
You mentioned the speed thing. It's how Ivory Coast kind of frustrates Norway, too.
Oh, Yandy Omende, just going up the wing. Number 11, 19-year-old, by the way. He was playing in the United States 2 years ago. He was basically not even a thought for Ivory Coast until recently. The burst that kid has. It's why he's going to be a $100 million player. I think he's going to PSG this summer, who just won the Champions League 2 years in a row. Horrifying. It's also Mbappe. When you watch France, he will go from just hanging out, walking, relaxing. France gets the balls, and he kind of sees the defense back up a little bit, where now he can kind of play it offsides. Gone.
Yeah.
And there's just not much you can do about it. And this is where I think Belgium's age, yes, there is the experience aspect. They're just not as fast as the United States. They're not. That's why Senegal was all over them. And again, as I mentioned, I think Senegal botched that. That they should have won that game in regulation. They didn't even get it to penalties. I mean, that is, I think, more on Senegal, less for Belgium. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get some more soccer talk, or excuse me, hockey talk in, as we're going to have Joe Yurden join the show when we come back. We had the 3-on-3 tournament. We've had the start of free agency. We had a lot going on for the Sabres, and we'll get Joe's thoughts on it when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer on WGR.